Hello there and welcome to the Raw Room Photography Podcast. In today's episode, we are going to be talking about the ups and the downs of entering photo or photography competitions. I have some mixed views on them, so I wanted to share those with you, but we'll get into that a bit more in a minute. I also just want to point your attention towards the latest video that I uploaded, which is talking about making an average image into a great image. That went out yesterday. It's Monday at the moment. I'm really pleased with the video. It's a full shoot from being out in the field in a nice location, going through the post-processing and then producing a print at the end. I talk a little bit about a bit more advanced editing where we use the RGB curves to affect the colour in our image. A lot of people seem to be finding that very useful, so I just wanted to mention that for a minute. I've had a couple of comments on the video. When we're talking about average, in this case, I'm talking about my own attitude towards my own images and not really about composition either. I think you can turn an average image in terms of the light and the colour into something that's print worthy, which is essentially what the video was about. A great example of that is the tree that I shot with Charlie Waite. When an image like that comes out of the camera that was taken in flat light, when I first see it, I'm often very, very underwhelmed by it because it's really flat. There's not much colour. But by the time I've edited it, I've applied a bit of contrast, a bit of saturation and changed the colour and things and brought that image back up to how I felt at the time, I often then get very excited. So that's really what I was talking about in that video. You can't really make an average composition into a great one, but I think in terms of the light and the colour, you definitely can. And I also don't think that's going beyond the realms of what's acceptable editing as well. And we'll talk a bit more about that as we get into the photography competitions as well, because a lot of photography competitions will have different rules around the amount of post-processing that's allowed. And I think that's a good thing, actually, that there are some differences with these competitions. Anyway, let's talk competitions now then. So you probably know already that last year I entered the very first British Photography Awards, and I was very pleased to be shortlisted for one of my waterdrop photographs, even though I did submit quite a few landscape pictures as well, none of which got shortlisted, but that's fine. But it was a nice experience, and then I ended up winning the People's Choice Award on that image, and I therefore got invited to an evening at the Savoy in London when there was a presentation and all that kind of thing. It was a great night. It was a great celebration of photography, and it was just a fun experience. I did actually make a video with a similar subject at the time and showing that evening, but my thoughts have probably changed a little bit since then. So I just wanted to give you an update about my thoughts now, particularly because we're right slap bang in the season of competition entries. One of the things, some of the concerns I have with photography competitions is that they can often be perceived, and probably in some cases are, just a money-making scheme. They require payment to enter, and the intention from the people running it is maybe not always completely above board. I don't have any specific examples of that. Just sometimes, in some occasions, with none of the competitions I'm talking about today, but with some, I find that's an issue. And then on top of that, then there doesn't really seem to be anything to benefit you if you are to win or to be shortlisted, other than the accolade of that. And often that accolade is essentially meaningless. The other concern I have is around fairness. And are they fair? Now, a lot of people will say they're not fair because they're being judged subjectively by a selection panel or judges or whatever you want to call them. Now, if that's in the rules of that particular competition, then I actually think that is fair. If you know going into the competition, when you submit your images, that it's down to judges to assess that, then I think that is fair, especially if you know who the judges are. So you can look at their work, you can start to get an understanding of what they like or what they don't like, then I think that is fair. Yeah, it's still obviously it's still going to come down to a subjective thing. So you can't always be completely sure what the judges are going to like. But I think with that in mind, it doesn't actually matter. What I talked about on the video that I did last year about it is that as long as you don't sort of put in all of your emotional self-esteem into the result of that competition, then I think it can be a very positive thing for you. One thing that I've found interesting over the last few weeks as I've been putting together my competition entries is that it's a great chance to fine-tune and curate your own work. That's actually a really interesting process because you look back on your images with hindsight and try and look at your images with a different, from an outside point of view, essentially, to decide whether that image is good or not. One that you thought was amazing at the time, a few months down the line, you may not think that. Another image that you thought was just okay, you might look at it and you just think, yeah, that's actually really good. It's covering all the technical angles that are often looked for in these photography competitions. So that would fit really well. And that's been the sort of thing I've been going through for the last few weeks. It's just fun, apart from anything. And you get to learn a little bit more about your own work and also a bit about yourself to understand with that hindsight what you actually really value. That can then be used moving forward as you go out again to take new images. And it's just teaching yourself about your own photography, which is a really beneficial process. Like I said before, there are some people who have told me that they will put together their, or they'll plan their whole year's shoot around entering a photography competition. Now, I can hear the complaints about that already, but I actually think that's a really good thing. Anything that gives anyone some motivation to go out and start making landscape photographs, I think is a good thing. What does it matter where that intention comes from? If they're out and about enjoying the landscape and doing photography, it's healthy, both physically and mentally, and so I think it's a good thing. One thing I did actually quite like about the British Photography Awards, or really liked actually, is the combination of the judging and then the People's Choice Award. So essentially in each category, there were two winners. There was a winner of the People's Choice Award and there was a winner of the main prize. Now, I don't think there was any categories where the two were the same, which was interesting. I imagine there will be in future. But there's also the case of, is the People's Choice Award fair? Because I imagine I won that partly because my following was bigger than the other people. But does that matter? Is that fair? Because it goes down to if it's going down to a People's Choice Award, then essentially the person that has the biggest following should win. I don't know. These are the thoughts I'm having all the time. I haven't really decided what's right and what's wrong. But if a person is popular, then they're more likely to win a People's Choice Award, aren't they? I guess. I don't know. But a lot of people will obviously say they're judging it on fairness in their own mind. But who knows? If I ask you to vote for me, would you vote for me? I don't know. I hope some of you would. But there we go. That's a whole nother matter, I guess. But yeah, one of the things I've always wanted to know with all of these photography competitions around fairness, around it being subjective, is how does the judging work? Now, most of the competitions will tell you the timeline and the procedures that the judges go through. Like, it gets shortlisted and then it gets narrowed down again. I'm more interested in actually seeing the judges at work. I hate to use the comparison, but take X Factor on TV. Maybe you've never seen it, hopefully not, but I have, unfortunately. There are the moments when they've made all their live performances and then the judges get together and they decide who should go through and who shouldn't. Now, obviously, it's highly edited on TV and they try to make it entertaining, but it's actually quite interesting hearing some of those thoughts about individuals, even though they're not letting on. But that's what I would like to see in a photography competition. It's what I'm trying to... it's what I'd like to do with Charlie Waite and Landscape Photographer of the Year because I'm involved with Charlie and Land and Landscape Photographer of the Year. I can't enter that competition anymore, basically. So I would love the opportunity, and I'll try and convince Charlie to let me do it, to go in and film or do a vlog around that judging process, just so you can see a little bit of the insight into what the judges are thinking. You can hear the thoughts of those experts and how they approach the judging of an image, or how what they like, what they don't like, what they're looking for, what they're not looking for. And that I think that would be a really interesting thing to see. I think it would make an interesting video, and it would provide a bit of a more transparency for Landscape Photographer of the Year. That's my hope. Whether I'm involved or not, that's still something I'd like to see, because I think it would add a bit more credibility maybe, and a bit more assurance to those people entering that their work is going to be judged fairly and accurately. And apart from anything, I'd just like to see how that works in some of these bigger competitions. One of the other things I'm constantly questioning myself with is, if you are to win a photography competition, or you get shortlisted, or your image goes into one of the books that gets created, does that recognition matter? Particularly from the point of view of a beginner, should you bother entering these competitions? Because does that recognition matter? Does winning matter? Now, I was very, very much of the opinion that no, it doesn't. I entered the British Photography Awards just on a bit of a whim, and when I won, I wasn't that bothered. I didn't see it as a huge achievement, because as my professional career has gone on, you have these moments that you hope are going to be big breaks, and they never are. They just never are. There is no such thing as a big break. It's about constant hard work. And my success in the British Photography Awards was a fine example of that. I doubt it's made any difference whatsoever to my career. I doubt it's earned me more money. It's allowed me, when I was putting the Waterdrop Photography Masterclass together for the Raw Room, to say I was an award-winning photographer. But that's what a lot of people will say these days. But I'm just not sure if the recognition matters. And I don't think it makes any difference either, a single win. What I do think makes a difference, though, is as you start to put yourself out there, like I say, there's no big break, but if you start to get recognition repeatedly, so say you win 3 or 4 competitions over a couple of years, then that starts to build. It starts to generate. And the attention, the recognition that you get starts to snowball. Because imagine a Google search. You type in John Smith or John Smith Photography, because it's quite a common name. But type in John Smith Photography, you will rise to the top of that Google search page, because you'll start to appear on competition-winning websites, and your name is in different publications and all that kind of thing. So this recognition and attention does start to build over time. So it's more like the addition of lots of little things into a whole rather than one big break. And that is probably the reason why I am continuing to enter competitions. I'm not going to lie as well. It's also an element of competitiveness in myself, because if my peers and other landscape photographers particularly are winning competitions, then I feel a healthy competition from that, and I want to win some too. That's just me. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. If you're not interested in photography competitions, that's totally cool. And I'm not going to think I'm a better photographer than you because I've won a competition as well. I think that's a really important point, because, like I said in the video last year, these competitions are subjective. So just because I've won one doesn't make me a better photographer than you, and because it's so subjective. So you could have submitted the best image ever that 90% of the world would think was the best image ever, and it might have just got missed. Or the attention that the judge paid it was not quite sufficient, so it fell through the net. Just because your image does not get shortlisted or doesn't get into the final round doesn't mean it's not a great image. It's just how it, I guess some of it is a little bit how it falls on the day. So with all that in mind, is there any point in entering? Especially when there are so many competitions these days, and you go to so many photographers' web pages and about pages, and they're all claiming to be an award-winning photographer. That's quite typical these days. And a lot of the time, it's easy to say that, because you could enter a camera club competition where there's five photographers. So they've all won that competition at some point. They can then say, essentially, without being misleading, that they are an award-winning photographer. So every time I see that, I will try and delve just a little bit deeper to find out the credentials of that award that they've won. Because say if you've won the Sony photography competition, then you know that that recognition must mean that they've created some really, really good work. And that's another thing, because you're not winning a photography competition without creating some, or one of the top photography competitions, without creating some really great work. And everyone likes a little bit of recognition when they've done good work. And that's, if you get shortlisted or selected, then it gives you that and provides you that. So it's nice. So I think there is a point to it about the curation, about that bit of recognition. And just when you submit, it's like any competition that you enter. When you hit submit, you just get that little ping of hope, don't you, that you might win it, and what that would mean for you. And I don't think particularly there's any harm in it. As long as you are not bankrupting yourself by entering these competitions, and as long as you're not putting all your emotional well-being and self-esteem behind it, just see it for what it is, a sort of light-hearted competition where there's no one's looking for a bad image. It's not that. I think it's a positive experience if you just frame it right in your mind. Some of them are a bit more expensive than others, which can be frustrating, but there are many out there that are free. In my experience, the ones that you've got to pay to enter do often seem to be slightly better setups. The prizes are also better. I think at the moment, Landscape Photographer of the Year still offers the highest prize money, which is about £10,000. It's the highest prize money I've come across for a photography competition, I think, off the top of my head. But yeah, I mean, just on Landscape Photographer of the Year for a minute, I don't know if you saw the video I did with Charlie when he was talking about it, but I know he's not doing that for a money-making scheme. He is passionate, obviously, about photography. He's passionate about sharing it. And photography competitions can become, if they're run correctly, a really great celebration of photography. And I think Landscape Photographer of the Year does that. I think also the British Photography Awards did that as well. And they're good because they cover a range of genres as well, pretty much every photography genre. And that, the evening in London was a great celebration of photography with some top photographers there. It was great to meet people. It was just a nice night. And that's definitely driven me to enter that competition again. So what have I been up to? I have, over the last couple of weeks, put some images together to enter two competitions. One is the British Photography Awards. I think you have until the end of October to enter that, so another week or so. And the second one is International Landscape Photographer of the Year. That's been going for a few years, I think. You have one more day, I think, 24 hours left or so to enter that. If you are listening to this podcast on Monday, I don't know too much about that competition. It's run by, I think, a couple of Australian guys, and it seems to be doing okay. It is quite expensive to enter, though. It's $25 per image to enter. You have to enter four images in order to be in with a chance of winning the overall award. If you only enter one image, you could be featured in the book, but you can't win the award. Obviously, with some obvious maths there, you've got to pay $100 at least in order to have a chance of winning it. I think that's a bit steep, especially when the big prize is only $5,000. That's what I say only, but the big prize is $5,000. I think it was Adam Gibbs won that last year. He obviously does YouTube videos. He's quite well known anyway, and I think he sort of says it didn't do much for his career. So yeah, I just wanted to enter that one just to give it a go, see what I felt about it, and just make my sort of own judgment on it. Landscape Photographer of the Year, I, like I said, I can't enter that, but that has definitely changed the lives of some of the winners. Many, I think there's a few of the winners, previous year's winners, who are now my colleagues at Light and Land, running photography tours and workshops and stuff. So that is definitely one that can change your life. And £10,000 is a lot of money and can easily sort of help you along the way to becoming a professional photographer, if that is what you wanted. It's been around for quite a while now. Everyone knows about it who's a landscape photographer in the UK. So yeah, I mean, that's definitely, I can say with some confidence that that's probably the premier competition out there, even though I'm not 100%, or I am biased, aren't I? Yeah, so I've entered those two competitions, British Photography Awards and the International Landscape Photographer of the Year. Now, these two are actually quite different in the fact that they have different rules around what post-processing you're allowed to do. So the British Photography Awards has a much more natural set of rules. So you're not allowed to manipulate images much at all beyond the sort of normal colour, contrast, saturation stuff. You can do very minor spot removal, but anything else, it will void your image. I know there was one image last year that got that won, then got their prize removed. I think after an investigation, I think there would have been too much post-processing. They're much more restrictive. So you, essentially, if you've cloned out a post or you've cloned out, there was one image I didn't submit because it's a moon rise, because I'd cloned out a load of buoys on the water. Because they were just distracting in the image. So I didn't submit that one because I didn't think that met with the rules. One of the good things about the British Photography Awards, though, is that you can submit a picture from any genre, and you can also submit it from any time. So you can pick your best images from your portfolio to enter into that. It's also not too expensive. I think I submitted 6 images, which cost £30, I think. So that's, yeah, £5 per image to enter, so it's not too bad. You can enter one, or you can enter as many. I think you can enter up to 25. The International Landscape Photographer of the Year is different in the fact that you have to submit images taken from the 1st of January on or after the 1st of January 2018, but you can submit images with virtually unlimited post-processing, because they say that that's part of the artistic process. Now, I generally, the category I sort of fall into is that I much more consider myself to be a photographer of the natural landscape. I made a video a little while ago about deception in landscape photography, where people are swapping skies around and putting things in and taking things out. And I was just asking the question, basically, because I still don't know where the line is. I used an image of Lily Tarn in Luffrig Fell, where I took the picture, but then I couldn't get the bank of the tarn out of the image. So I cloned it out using the content aware fill. Now I have, just as a bit of an experiment, submitted that image to International Landscape Photographer of the Year, because I do think it's a really nice image. But like I said in that video, I think it's going over the line of what is now landscape photography. It meets with the rules, most definitely, for that competition. So it'll be interesting to see how that picture does, because I think it's a really strong image. It's just not something I would normally, and it's not going to be an image I ever sell or anything like that. So it'll just be interesting to see how that does and what the reaction to it is, because it's not my favorite image, because I feel like I cloned too much stuff out, but I thought I would put that into the competition to see how it goes. So as I've been curating the images for the competition, or for these two competitions, I've actually submitted different images to the two different competitions, just by curating them and putting them together to meet the rules. So actually the photograph that I of the tree that I took on the video with Charlie Waite, I've submitted that one to International Landscape Photographer of the Year as well, but not to the British Photography Awards, because I cloned the cows out that were in the image. That's allowed in one, but not in the other. So again, it'll be interesting to see how that does. But yeah, I just thought I would share my experience with photo competitions, what I'm thinking around them. Are they worth it? Are they not? Like I say, I think go for it. If you're in doubt or you've not tried it before, just go for it. They're not too expensive. See how it makes you feel. See whether you enjoy it or not. See if it benefits you and see if it benefits your photography. And then just take it from there. I know it's not going to be for everybody, but it might be that you get a bit of recognition and that just kickstarts your landscape photography. That's certainly how it made me feel with my water drop stuff. I think when that got selected, it probably then inspired me to make the landscape, the water drop photography masterclass and do a bit more water drop photography. So it definitely gave me a boost. I don't think it's made any difference to my career, but I enjoyed the recognition and I enjoyed a night in London as well and met some great photographers. So that's my overall opinion. The jury's still out. I'm still not 100% convinced. I guess if you entered over and over and over and over again, and you never got any recognition, it would be a bit demoralizing. Yeah, give it a go. What have you got to lose? As I try to live my life at the moment, why not? Why not? And if there's no good reason, just do it and give it a go. So that's my thoughts around photography to competitions. Hopefully I will be getting behind the scenes of Landscape Photographer of the Year. That competition opens or reopens in January. It's been relaunched because they didn't do one in 2019. So I'm looking forward to observing that from the outside because I'm not allowed to enter it. So let me know your thoughts via Twitter or anywhere else that you can get in touch with me. We're really interested to hear from you. Have you won? Have you not? Yeah, I just want to hear from you. Twitter's probably the best place. I am at Adam Carnach. And if you search First Man Photography, you should be able to find me. But I hope you've enjoyed listening. I'll speak to you again very, very soon. I'm Adam, and this is the Raw Room Photography Podcast. Out.